Hi guys, welcome to the Safe Space Podcast. You're with your host Emma.
And John. Not even a good joke. I'm Hester.
Today we're going to be talking about something pretty cool. And that is gender math.
Gender math? Well, what does it even mean, Emma?
Let me tell you. Hester, have you ever heard of gender math?
No, I bloody haven't.
Well, let me explain. There's a phenomenon online called girl math and boy math. Have you heard of that?
I've heard of that one.
For instance, oh, I'm going to buy these hair straighteners because that's equal to 3 flat whites.
That's girl math.
That's girl math. Boy math might be, that's the length of 2 football pitches. It's very binary.
It's giving binary. It's giving binary.
So, I've come up with this. Here's my version of gender math. And obviously, this isn't set in stone. This is just a bit of fun.
Okay, so it's not the law.
It's not the law. So, the number one rule to remember with gender math is gender does not equal sex. Are you taking notes?
Yes, Emma.
So you've got to know the difference between gender and sex. They're both different variables. Sex is a biological category, whereas gender is the cultural shaped expression of sexual difference. Okay? Are you catching my drift?
I'm with you, Jackson.
Okay, great. So the masculine way in which men should behave and the feminine way in which women should behave as well.
That's gender.
So sex is the biological category, whereas gender is this, the cultural shaped expression. Okay? Next one. So, big question is, that everyone asks, is sex binary? We know that gender isn't, but is sex?
Well, I'd say no.
Aha! Ding, ding, ding. Although sex is typically misconceptualized as a binary male,
which XY chromosome,
or female,
XX chromosome,
many other chromosome arrangements, inherent variations in gene expression patterns and hormone levels exist.
Ah.
So intersex people, very much valid. Gender is more of a spectrum, and that spectrum is determined by your cultural experiences.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
I wondered what was determining it.
Obviously, there are different variables within gender math. And that includes cisgender, a person whose identity or subconscious sex aligns with sex that they were assigned to at birth. For example, acronym, the meaning assigned male at birth, and the acronym meaning assigned female at birth.
Okay, that's like your Brad Pitts, your Gwyneth Paltrows.
Exactly, it's the ones that are quite... But I think that's...
Cis.
Cis, yeah. Anyway, then you've got transgender people, which is an umbrella term for anyone who identifies as a gender other than the one they were assigned to at birth. This includes trans men or women and non-binary identities such as gender fluid, gender queer, and agender.
Okay. I knew that one too. Next. But it's good to clarify.
Non-binariness. It's an umbrella term for anyone who falls outside the gender binary of male or female.
It doesn't make sense.
Why?
I'm joking.
He's terrified me.
How can it not be male or female?
Oh, right. I should, God, really threw me off there, Hess. So, androgynous. This is a person with a gender identity or expression that is neutral or has both masculine and feminine parts. Synonyms include null gender, androgyne, genderless, and neutrosis.
Oh.
So that is a lovely creator who I love online. Another equation that you really need to be aware of in this gender math is non-binary does not equal androgyny.
Okay, I'm getting it. It's a lot to take in.
So as you can see here, these are some typical androgynous people, but that does not mean that they are non-binary. And also non-binary people do not owe you androgyny.
I served her a drink at Glastonbury last summer.
No.
Yeah.
The witch from Narnia.
Yeah. Tequila and cranberry juice. Very strange.
Moving on. So, androgyny as well does not equal white, skinny people. It is a common misconception, or maybe not a misconception, more of a trope, that androgynous people are
white, skinny people.
That is not true.
That's not true.
You have all fluid. The point of it is fluidity.
Every shape and size and colour and kind of person.
Exactly, Hester. You're learning. You're doing very, very well. But I believe that being non-binary is just being comfortable in your own skin.
Being non-binary is just being comfortable in your own skin.
I think, the parts of your body do not equate to who you are. You're just you.
Right, okay. So you're not defined by gender norms.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Or you don't identify with gender norms.
Yeah, and you also don't identify with things that are gendered. So, for instance, things like dresses, makeup, combat, jeans, humans have stereotypically gendered for those in order to create structure within societies. And I think non-binary people live with outside of those structures. Okay?
But well, Jackson, isn't there an argument that we could all live outside those structures?
I think so too. But then I would argue that everyone is non-binary if they do that then.
Wow, sounds like you've got an agenda.
agenda. Moving on. The reason I've set up this presentation and podcast is because we had a message come in from a lovely person called Vicky.
Hey, Vicky.
So I would like, Hester, for you to read it.
Okay. Hey, Emma. First of all, I'm messaging you because I wanted to thank you and also Hester and everyone on Safe Space Videos for your work. I've learnt so much and I really think it's the perfect mixture of education and entertainment, actually. It is.
Thank you.
I also wanted to ask you a rather personal question. It is, of course, completely fine if you don't want to answer it. Given that I grew up and still live in a tiny Austrian village in the Alps and in the conservative city of Salzburg for most of my life, I didn't have any representation of queer reality, and it got a bit better in terms of sexual orientation because I now know my orientation and I'm writing about lesbian movies and representation in my master's thesis. Sounds like a good time. But I'm kind of struggling with my gender identity. Ah, I've been thinking about my gender for a long time now and how I currently say I'm 100% female and hate being addressed as Frau or Miss.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I wanted to ask how you came to terms with your gender identity, especially as you, as far as I'm understanding it, are not trying to express or dress in a very androgynous way. Having a body looking very feminine and not at all androgynous, I'm always gendered in a very binary way as a woman. So my question is, how you came to terms with your identity and whether you tell everyone when you are misgendered. Do you have any advice for how to come to terms with my own identity?
Okay, I came to terms with my gender because I think as a child, you don't really question it, you just sort of exist. And I was very much just Emma. And in that sense, I never stuck to stereotypical things that a typical assigned female at birth person, e.g. a girl, should be doing. I just did what I wanted to do. I had dolls, action men, and I skateboarded, and I hung out with girls and boys, and I just lived. There was almost a lot less pressure, maybe because my mum kind of brought me up sort of gender neutral, for me to just be myself. She never told me to wear dresses. She never told me to wear makeup. I could was just free to do what I want. And then growing up, as I went through adolescence, I went to an all-girls school, and I felt so pressured to try and like fit in this box. And I got so down, like depressed really badly, because I was like, this isn't me. This isn't authentically me. And the thing that helped me tap back into that little me and what I would do back then, I've always been like it, was to just... It got so extreme that I just let it all go. And I just decided, you know what, I'm just going to be me. And if anyone's got a problem with that, then it's their problem. And so I went to this new college, I left the school, and I just was out as a lesbian. I wasn't known as non-binary then, but I just did what I wanted to do. And back then, people would sort of stereotype me as just a tomboy lesbian,
mm-hmm.
which... in a way is a good way to just get by because it kind of like shows that people just want to put a name to you of some sense. And then I had a girlfriend when I was at university and I was like really confused. It just wasn't right. So then she kind of made this mind map.
Mm-hmm.
And off the mind map...
Love a mind map.
...were like stereotypical things. So like makeup, painting my nails blue. Only paint my nails blue. What I wear, all these mind maps, and then also, so we just did Emma, and then all the mind maps of things that I like to associate with me, and they were, and then we counted them up at the end, and we looked at ones that are gendered as like male and ones that are gendered as female, and they were completely equal, so they almost like to me felt like they cancelled each other out. So then, from that mind map, it kind of concluded that I am neither male or female, I'm just me. Because I felt like they'd cancelled each other out.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Kind of.
Mm-hmm.
But what you're talking about, to me, sounds like they're just stereotypes. They're just stereotypes of men and the stereotypes of women.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not, they're just what people have culturally attributed to men and women. They're not, you're not in but any way.
But what is being a man? What is being a woman? What does that mean?
Well, it doesn't mean anything.
Exactly. But like, so I think my sex, I've never like seen my body and gone, oh, I want that to change. I want this to change. So, because I was a big question of whether I was transgender back then, because I was just so in tune with my masculine side. And then realised that I don't want to chop my boobs off. And I don't want to grow a penis. And I don't want to look like a man. I don't really care that I look like a girl. I'm just am. And gender things are more things inside of you. And I think it's such a personal journey that I don't even think it matters what anyone else thinks. So I think the being called yourself, being called non-binary, is almost useless in a way. Because it's a very personal journey.
Yeah, that makes more sense to me. Mm-hmm. Because what you're saying is like gender expressions mm-hmm. are expectations that are put on you.
Well, they are. They not?
Yeah, they are.
Exactly.
And I agree.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't make them like reality. They're just things that are
social constructs.
Yeah, that are holding us back from like.
Exactly. So ourselves. I've broken away from that.
Yeah. So my friend put the point to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really struck by it.
Oh, yeah.
Because I obviously respect anyone being called non-binary. I sometimes think I'm like whatever that it means to mm-hmm. be, whatever. But she said, well, the feminist movement fought mm-hmm. against being women having to dress in a certain way, act in a certain way,
yeah.
conduct themselves in a certain way,
mm-hmm.
and advocated for women to be able to do anything they wanted to do, and for men to do whatever they wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
And to be feminine or masculine.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, well, what's the difference then between that and what non-binary people's existence is asking for?
The connotations that everyone is equal.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And that's because at one point, inequality was very much a thing when it came to men and women. Mm-hmm. Men were superior, women were inferior.
Treated as inferior.
Yeah, exactly. And so for me, it was like a big women's battle to win for equality.
But I think that's a common misconception. Because it isn't. Or it was.
The suffragettes. Look at the suffragettes.
Yeah, but they had to be a women's movement because exactly. the men weren't going to fight of for course. Their right to not be.
Completely. I completely get that. And that is relevant. What the feminist movement did was incredible. And I don't think the two are rivaling each other. Feminism and non-binary freedom.
Identities.
For me, they're working on par.
Well, exactly. That's what she was saying.
Mm-hmm.
She was saying, what's the point in identifying as non-binary?
Right.
And not just fighting for the rights of anyone to do anything they want in terms of their expression of anything they feel or want to wear or want to be.
Well, they're the same then.
Yeah, but she was questioning the concept of just identifying as non-binary and it being a sort of, well, I'm non-binary
mm-hmm.
and you're this.
For me, when I found my non-binaryness out and I've explored it, I have, and it is probably a controversial viewpoint, but I believe everyone's non-binary. But with the feminist movement, there was no speak of, because we're all non-binary, that this is happening.
Well, they didn't, actually, it was the feminist movement. It was like Leslie Feinberg, who turned that phrase, who was a feminist.
100%. I think with the amount of stick that feminists have got over the years when it comes to transgender issues and feminist issues and stuff like that.
People want to distance themselves from
it. Yeah, they do. When if anything, like the best, you know, there's a really good book by, I think it's Sarah Ahmed called The Feminist Killjoy. And it's essentially saying that non-binary identities and trans identities very much have a place in feminism,
mm-hmm.
if not like some of the leading figures.
Yeah.
I think we're on the same page there.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Great.
Should we move on to the next question?
So what do you do when people misgender you, Emma?
Well, it happens daily. I don't think there needs to be a very strict rules with it, because I think that's when you alienate yourself and you see people working against you rather than with you. For me, my non-binary identity is very much like my own personal journey. And unfortunately, people don't understand that. And I understand that they don't understand it. So for me, I really love, like, the people that really know and love me and hear me. Like, my girlfriend has never misgendered me. And I'm not saying that those people that do misgender me don't love me, but I think it's a different type of understanding of me. Because my girlfriend sees me very much as Emma, whereas other people will see the long hair, the mascara, the stereotypical female bits of me, and jump to that because that's all we've known through language. Unfortunately, language is gendered. And, you know, in many cultures, it's not. And I just think that's the way the world goes. So when I do get misgendered, I don't let it go to my heart.
Yeah. It's also quite... People make mistakes.
I mean, I freaking make mistakes. Mm-hmm. You know? So for me, it's like, I know it. I'm very clear in it. I'm comfortable. If you misgender me, that does not take away from my gender.
No. That's great.
Yeah.
Some people do get offended.
And I understand that because it is frustrating when you hear someone... Because I do go by they, them pronouns. When someone does say she, it is like every time I hear it, I'm like... thought about it. It's like mini things that I think about every single time. But then I also think what comes with that is when I do get misgendered, and then it kind of like we'll be having a great discussion, and then they'll realize that they've misgendered me, and then they go, oh shit, I'm sorry. They sorry didn't mean that. And then they feel really bad about themselves, and the conversation that we were having before that was so good is missed because now they feel
guilty.
So for me, it's like, I don't care when I get misgendered because I'm like, what really matters is the conversation we're having.
But again, so this is the point before.
Mm-hmm.
If it doesn't matter,
yes,
being a woman or a man or non-binary or whatever,
mm-hmm.
the expectations of how you express your gender,
mm-hmm.
why do the pronouns matter so much?
I completely get this. The amount of times I've wanted to say, you know what, call me any gender.
Mm-hmm.
Call me anything. Don't care. Queen, king.
Yeah.
Goblin. I don't care. For me, though, it's like, because we do safe space and I am non-binary, I feel like I owe it to non-binary identity, not people, the identity, for me to withhold that pronoun, because there will be people that do need that pronoun to be said.
Mm.
So if I represent a non-binary person and then I go, oh, no, you know what? I say to people that misgender me, oh, I don't care, don't worry. But I'm still, no matter what, going to be resilient in the fact that I'm they, them. Because as a non-binary identity movement, I think it's really important to be heard and seen in that. Because if I just was like, oh yeah, any, people would see me as female. They would just use she and her all the time. No one would really make the effort to use they and them if I went any pronoun.
Yeah.
So it's a resilience of my gender. No matter how hard it is, I'm going to keep at it. Yes, people misgender me all the time, but I think that's going to happen throughout my life.
Mm.
Because language is gendered.
Yes. I agree.
I do.
Mm-hmm.
You got conflict.
What I was trying to say before, like, realistically,
mm-hmm.
we should all fight for the right to do whatever we want and be whatever we want, and none of it should feel like less or more.
Mm.
You know, like, does it feel like less to be referred to as she, or do you think people really don't understand who you are if they'd refer to you as she?
A little bit, yeah.
But why?
Because I don't see myself in that binary. I see myself outside of it. And I think that language is such a...
But what if people start to see everything as outside of that binary?
Well, I think that's bloody brilliant. If we were all called they, there'd be no bloody problems, would they?
But then I think there probably still would be problems. There probably still would be problems. I just, yeah. Playing devil's advocate here.
Yeah, no, I'm into it.
Wondering.
Keep going.
The gender.
Mm-hmm.
Pronouns.
Are they needed? I was just saying everyone should just be called they, them. Do you not agree? Or do you just think it shouldn't matter what pronoun you are?
Well, I would think that it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter to me, like, if anyone calls me any pronoun. He? She?
But everyone they? Would call you she.
But it doesn't matter to me. I don't care.
And that's, you know what? That's a different type of resilience that I hold my hat off to, really, because I wish I didn't care when that happens, but I do. So, Vicky, I hope that kind of helps when it comes to the misgendering.
Whatever you feel, you know, like, it's your journey, it's your life.
Yeah.
If it feels better to be referred to as they, go with it, you know. Mm. If that becomes then something that you really need and value, go with that. Yeah. If it's something you don't, you're not bothered about, go with that. Just go, just explore.
And the thing is,
shift it, change it.
I probably, people will talk about me behind their back and like go, oh, so stupid, you gotta call them they, them all the fucking time. But it's like, I don't care what anyone thinks. I'm just living me. And at the end of the day, in 100 years' time, I'll be dead. So I'm just going to do what I want to do.
Mm.
You know? And if anyone got a problem with that, then they can, it's their problem. It's not yours. So, Hester, back to the PowerPoint.
Fucking hell, I forgot about the PowerPoint.
So, Hester, can you tell me if there are any non-binary societies that are still living today?
Can I? Here are some non-binary societies that still exist today.
No way.
Number one, we've got the Hijra community, Emma.
I've heard of these.
The Hijra gender is the most common non-binary identity recognised in India today.
No way.
Considered neither completely male or female.
Incredible.
Hijras have been present in South Asian history for over 700 years, Emma.
700.
Many Hijras are born with male sexual characteristics, though the Hijra community also includes intersex people. Now, Emma, over the centuries, the Hijra people have been viewed as spiritual leaders.
Incredible. That is iconic. In what sense?
So they'd often leave home at a young age and join other Hijra communities.
So there was many of them?
Like monks. More like monks.
Oh, I see, of course.
And they would take a religious roles in things like births and marriages. Basically, in their communities, Hijras are viewed to have the power to bless or curse people. A bit like me.
Yes, you do that.
However, in recent centuries, there has been a growing stigma around the Hijra identity. Enter the British colonisers.
It's always them, isn't it?
Them, us.
It's always us, isn't it? Ruining everything.
So the British colonisers actually introduced a law when they colonised India to categorise Hijras as criminals.
For God's sake.
An anti-Hijra sentiment still continues today, unfortunately.
They're still around?
Still about.
Incredible. Well, if there are any Hijra people out there, we would actually love to talk to you.
Yeah. Get in touch.
Definitely get in touch.
Now, number two. Let's go to Indonesia, shall we? The Bugis are an ethnic group in South Sulawesi in Indonesia that recognise three different gender categories beyond the binary. That's three extras.
Wow.
So, Kalale, which refers to people who have female characteristics but present in masculine ways. So they cut their hair and they dress. They also take up a social position comparable to men's.
Interesting.
Transcending some of the restrictions of women.
Wow.
The second gender that they recognise is the Kalabai people, who have male sexual characteristics, but occupy a more feminine role.
Interesting.
However, they don't identify as women and usually do not have their sexual characteristics altered. They also often oversee weddings and manage each aspect of the ceremony. They're like wedding planners.
How rude.
Which is fab. Number three, the third gender identity that they recognise in this area of Indonesia is Bisu. And this is another gender that embodies the totality of both masculine and feminine at the same time. Which sounds really fun, doesn't it?
That sounds a bit of me.
It's all genders.
Everything.
Omnigender. Okay.
That is actually a gender.
Is it? Well, there you go. They are believed to surpass other genders
and
encapsulate a purely spiritual role.
Oh, incredible. I love the spirituality with it.
They're believed to,
I'm loving the hand movement,
bridge the worldly to the divine. And they often wear flowers and carry a sacred sword.
Oh, icons.
To symbolise their expansive identity.
Beautiful.
Love it.
Yeah.
Slay. Sword. Flowers.
Sword and flower.
Number three, pack your bags, we're going to Mexico. We have the Muches. Who are a community in Mexico. Typically they have male sexual characteristics, but embrace a feminine identity. They often take on household roles such as sewing, cooking and family care.
Great.
However, Muches are not one way and express their gender identities in a variety of ways.
Right.
The Muche identity is embedded within the indigenous Zapotec culture, who live mainly in the state of Oaxaca in Mexico. Now, the Zapotec culture respects Muche people. However, the Mushes are still restricted from living completely freely. And they're usually prohibited from living with their intimate partners or leaving their family homes. They don't allow them the same freedoms as typical men, typical women. But they do have a festival each year that they celebrate. And the festival is called the Festival of the Authentic and Intrepid Danger Seekers. It just sounds like a good vibe. Which is a day of energetic merriment to honour the Mushes people.
Incredible.
Yeah, we'll be there next year. Now, Madagascar. And I'm not talking the movie, Emma.
I do love the movie.
Don't get excited. We're talking of the east coast of Africa, where there is a group of people who are called the Sakalava people, who are an indigenous community who recognise another gender known as Sakrata. And Sakrata people have male sexual characteristics, but after displaying behaviour viewed as feminine in childhood, they are categorised as Sakrata.
Ah, I see. Kind of makes sense.
And they are then raised as girls by their families. Sakrata adopt the feminine appearance in styling their hair and wearing jewellery.
I wonder if how they feel about all that, about being that and doing that at such a young age and how they express themselves. Like being told by society that you are this. You could argue that's male and female in the Western world as well. It makes you think that old gender argument of like save the children and stuff like that. It's like a very young age.
What? Save exactly. them from what? Save them from your madness.
And also, but like... Children are told from a very young age, like, oh, who's your boyfriend? Who's your girlfriend? And at the end of the day, like that's what you're doing.
You're being weird.
You're being
Why
weird.
Why are you being weird?
Just let kids be kids and then they grow as adults into whoever they are. And you're just scared that they're going to go against what you have been so intrinsically put in a box in all your life.
That's bloody right. You heard Emma. You want to fight about it? Go to Emma. So, Sakrata people also inhabit a niche in their communities, and they too take on a more spiritual ceremonial role. So not only are they widely accepted, they're also viewed as both sacred and protected by supernatural powers.
No.
Mm-hmm. So that's it, Emma. That's...
Hang on. I know about one other.
Go on.
Everyone in our comment talks about these people. The two spirit people. Have you heard of them?
Yes, I have heard of them.
Well, of course you have, because you've read our comments. So this is an umbrella term for those who have adopted both a male and female spirit. They have adopted to be referred to as this term in their community, and they are believed to embody both male spirit and the female spirit. So they have been seen to be able to live life through these two lenses of male and female perspectives, and also to bridge the difference between them, which sounds useful to me.
Sounds pretty good, yeah.
Sounds good. So the term actually two-spirited was coined in 1990.
Not that long ago.
Not that long ago at all. And it's used not only to like identify with male and female spirit people, but it's an umbrella term used to describe many different identities that have been present in many indigenous cultures, varying in name, expression, and status from one another. So these two-spirited people would specialise in certain aspects of their community life. For instance, basket weaving, potters, and as healers, matchmakers, and ceremonial leaders. This is a bit of me.
Bit of you. You're always weaving baskets and trying to set people up on dates.
I love it. So when the European colonisers came over, they attempted to erase these two-spirited people. Classic. However, two-spirited people are regaining the acceptance in some indigenous cultures. Well, that was fun, wasn't it, Hester?
I mean, I've had a whale of a time.
So, here, Hester, we have some non-binary math, which is from my own personal perspective. So, being called girly, dude, love, sweetheart so much so that at some point they just cancel each other out.
Well, I'll call you them all if you want all the time.
Right, say that again.
I'll call you them all. All of them, all of the time, Emma. Girly, girly, boydy, biddy, woody, body, woody, woody.
Next one. Someone getting my pronouns wrong but calls me handsome at the same time.
You like that, do you?
Like that a lot.
Vibes, big vibes.
Big vibes. This isn't technically for me, but I've seen a lot of people online say this one. When my dead name is on an official document, but it's a payslip.
So it's fine, because it's on a payslip. You're getting paid.
It's fun times. Buying a binder I bought that was £50, but also can double up as a vest in summer.
There you go. That's what I call non-binary financial efficiency.
Heard it here first, guys. And gays and theys. being misgendered, but you asked me to open a jar for you.
Yeah.
Slay.
You ever open any jars, yeah?
When someone asks me to open a jar, it really makes me happy.
Tickles your pickle.
It really tickles that pickle. And that's all, that's it for non-binary math. But I heard you have some lesbian math.
Oh, yes. I do have some lesbian math.
Oh, I'll give you this.
So, here's some lesbian math.
Okay, you better get me textbook.
Any drivable distance between me and my girlfriend basically rounds up to zero.
Why?
You're normally really far away.
Okay, so when you can drive, it's zero.
Basically zero.
So when you can drive, it's zero.
Yeah.
Okay, now you're adding up.
Going on a 48-hour date on a Monday.
Okay.
In order to skip to the good bit and be moving in by Sunday.
Time savers. You lesbians know how to save some time.
I broke up with my girlfriend, but... What? I gained a best friend. Lesbians stay friends, guys.
They do. All my best friends are just my lesbian exes.
When I grew up, I had to wear my brother's hand-me-downs, but I actually loved it.
That was great. Oh, I wish I had an older brother.
I just watched 6 seasons of a TV series to watch a 2-minute kiss at season 4. Episode 21.
Your lesbian math are so much better. This is classic non-binary lesbian math. You have actually come fucking prepared.
That's the lesbians for you, baby.
Very well structured, whereas we just came up with a vest doubles up as a vest.
No, darling, it's very practical.
Yeah, you are very practical, you lesbian beings.
So yeah, if you've got any more, put them in the bloody comments, will ya? Lesbian math, baby. Ba-ding!
Sick.
Is that the end of the bloody
book? Yeah, okay,
let's
say goodbye.
It's time to say goodbye because we've had a lovely evening in the safe space.
Right, Hess, well...
Sorry, I don't know what came over me. Yeah. My Elton John just came out. Maybe that's my gender identity. Elton John.
There's a few lesbians like that. Anyway, guys, that's besides the point.
It's been real.
It's been good.
We've travelled the world.
I know.
We've done maths.
We've done gender. Anyway, we've done lots of things today.
We've fought. We've gone through time. We've thought about feminism. We've thought about gender identity. IDPOL, as the kids like to call it now. But in the end, we've come to the conclusion that your gender is your schmender. Whatever you want to
gender
schmender. At the end of the day. Anyway, it's probably time to wrap it up now, isn't it?
Yeah. Thanks, Hess.
Thank you, Emma.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.